It's a schuss and an honor to be here today. As I say every week, one of the highlights of my week is to be with you and to talk Divrei Torah. And as we all know, this week's Parshas Haazinu, has so many things to talk about, and we're going to try to connect it as we just finished off a Yom Kippur, and now we're heading into a Sukkos. So we're going to speak about a lot of different inyanim like we always do, ask a couple of questions, and then kind of come out with that major yesod, that major foundation point that we could bring into our lives in a very practical way. The Torah tells us in Parak Lamed Beis, Pasuk Aleph, Hezinu Hashamayim Vedaberna, V'tishma Eretz Imrei Pri. Give hear, O heavens, and I will speak, and may the earth hear the words of my mouth. Yarov Kamatar Lichi, may my teachings drip like the rain. Tizal Katalim Rasi, may my utterance flow like the dew. It's very interesting that at the end of Parshas Vayelech, the Torah tells us, as we all know, in Parak Laman Aleph Pasuk Yotes, Vata Kisvu Lachem Et Ashira Hazos. So now write this song for yourselves. And last week we spoke about writing your own Sefer Torah. And in life, we're going through the motions and we're going through life with all of our struggles and all of our great things going on, and we're writing our own Sefer Torah. But the Rashi and the Ramban say that Vata Kisvu Lachem Et Ashira Hazos, that we're writing this Shira, this song, is in reference to Parshas Haazinu. Question one, what does Parshas Haazinu have anything to do with the Shira Hazos? As we all know, if you look through all Parshas Haazinu, there's so many famous psukim. There's a lot of rebuke from Hashem saying that we're not doing such good things. How is that? How is that a Shira? How is the Parshas Haazinu a Shira? Question one. Question two. In Pasuk Gimel, on the Beis Gimel, Ki Shem Hashem Ekra Havu Godul Elokeinu. When I call out the name of Hashem, you should ascribe greatness to our God. And it's very fascinating because the Gemara tells us in Yuma, on Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, that when a person bows, we just finished the Yom Kippur, and we are bowing a lot, Baruch Shem Kavod Machuso Liolam Ed, showing that the Ribbono Shel Olam is our king, like Rosh Hashanah, he's our king, and we wanted to do a tshuva and a kapara. And the Gemara says, how do I know that I'm supposed to bow? From this pasuk, Ki Shem Hashem Ekra HaVagodol Elokeinu. However, it's very fascinating, because the Gemara tells us in Brachos and Daf Chav Aleph, how do I know that we have to say Birchas HaTorah? How do I know? We know in the morning, there's a chiyuv for both men and women to say a bracha of Birchas HaTorah, that you have to introduce Lasok B'Divrei Torah. How do I know that? Says the Gemara, Ki Shem Hashem Ekra HaVagodol Elokeinu. Ask Rav Soloveitchik, which one is it? We have two Gemaras that are saying the same pasuk. You can't, how can you have different one pasuk teaching me two different dinim? And furthermore, we'll call it 2b, is that we know the Gemara tells us in Nidarim, Daf Pei Aleph Amud Aleph, we don't know, now we're going to know it, that what? That we know that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. And the Gemara tells us in Yuma that the reason why the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed in Daf Tes Amud Aleph was because of the Gimel Averos, Shvichus Damin for murder, Gili Arayis, being involved in relations that you're not allowed to be, and Avodah Zarah. We explained before in the past, the Maharal, explaining that the Torah says, in Perkei Avos, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Beis, that the world stands on three things, Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim, each one of those representing a different thing. Again, Ayin Shom, go look online if you want to, right? We spoke about that, how they all interrelate. However, there's a crazy Gemara, the Gemara says, a famous Gemara, the Gemara says in the Darim, you know why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed? Shelo Baruchu Techila. They didn't make a bracha Techila of Birchas HaTorah. What? The Beis HaMikdash just destroyed because they didn't make a bracha on Birchas HaTorah. I mean, again, the Gemara says that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of the Gimel Averus, which is a little more understandable, right? Between man and Hashem. What does that mean that they didn't make a bracha of Birchas HaTorah? That's why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. What's going on? In question three, just a general question, what's the theme of Sukkos? Again, we could have just a separate shiur just on this. But what's the theme of Sukkos? We know Rosh Hashanah. I was given the schus to speak in yeshiva over Rosh Hashanah. And I spoke about being Mamlech Hashem. Obviously, you know, I speak for a half hour. I tell that one, I wasn't sure where to go with it, if I should tell my story of the Siyata Dishmaya, because I want to introduce even to the first year guys, you know, the Siyata Dishmaya. So obviously, which story did I pick? I wasn't sure about my pants. Then I lose my pants. And obviously, no one remembers anything about anything I said. Like the last 5 minutes, I spoke about my pants, and I lost my pants, and I found my pants, Baruch Hashem. So in the past, people like that story. You know, me running back from the bus, and you know, the whole to do. And all people were asking me about my pants. I'm like, okay, whatever, whatever. Okay, we remember stories, right? Official chapter, right? We remember stories very well. We have to tell more stories. But what did I speak about? I spoke about how we have to be Mamlech Hashem. We have to get out of ourselves. We have to realize that Hashem is the king. He's deciding. That's clear. That's clear. You look in the Pesukim, that's clear. That's the day of Rosh Hashanah. And then we just had a Yom Kippur. We had a Yom Kippur, an intense day. A day of tshuva. A day of vidui, the confession of all of our sins again and again and again. Because if we want perfection, you got to just keep on going. Someone that's just giving up on themselves, they don't really look into the details, and they okay, I'm doing my best. But no, we want perfection. We want to have that connection with the Ribbono Shel Olam. That was Yom Kippur, the idea of tshuva, which last week we spoke about. Is mitzvah tshuva? Is there not a mitzvah of tshuva? What is tshuva? Returning to the Ribbono Shel Olam, returning to our source, who gives us this awesome gift. But what's the theme of Sukkot? There's so many things going on. It's such a busy time. Such a busy time. All the cooking, obviously, and all the cleaning. But Sukkot, all the mitzvahs. What is, again, there's a lot of themes going on in Sukkot. But what, again, what's the connection between a Rosh Hashanah, a Yom Kippur, to a Sukkot? And what is the theme? What is the theme of Sukkot? So again, we have a bunch of questions. Question number one was, how is Parshas Hazinu a Shira? How is Parshas Hazinu Hashira according to Rashi and the Ramban? Question two is Birchas HaTorah in this week's Parsha. Is it Birchas HaTorah? The reason why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed was because we didn't say Birchas HaTorah Tchila. Or is it, as Rosalvichik asked, is it the Gemara that we bow down to the Ribbono Shel Olam? And the last question is what's the theme? What's the theme of Sukkot? So let's go slow. Let's try to attack the first question. Explain why it's called a Shira, why Parshas Hazinu is a Shira, and what's it all about. So the Ramban, the one of the last Rambans in the Parshas Hazinu, explains that if you look in Pasuk Zayin, Paraglon Beis, Pasuk Zayin, it says, Zechor Yemos Olam, Binu Shnos Dor Vador. Remember the days of old, understand the years of generation after generation. And the Ramban says is that this Parsha is a reference to all of Jewish history, is all the things that went on. And it's amazing because it talks about the Gullus and talks about scattering us. That didn't happen yet. It's talking about the future. The Torah is alluding to us, the future. It's telling us about Jewish history, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. He made us into his nation. And then we went off and we did bad things. But then Hashem always showed us the love. It shows us Zechor Yemos Olam. Refrain brings down very nice. That why is the pasuk say Shenos Dor Vador? What's the idea of Shenos Dor Vador? It means the years of generation. Why the Lashon Shenos? So he says because things change. Life changes, you know. You go 300 years ago, you tell them what's going on today. They'll say, that's crazy. That's crazy. You got airplanes. You got the whole thing. You know, soon we'll be flying. A little Superman, right? A little woo. Right? One day, the Jetsons. Yeah. I remember my father was telling me a couple, before the phones came out, my father told me that you're going to see, everything's going to be in their phones. Unbelievable, right? And then, okay, there's some great things about it, which we all know. And there's, again, everything in life, there's some good and some bad. But again, the world is just always changing. However, says Rav Fram, quoting down from one of the Achronim, is that the Torah never changes. The Ribbono Shel Olam never changes. He's there. Zechor Yemos Olam. You got to learn from history. You got to learn from history so it doesn't happen again. Right? We have to learn from it. This week, on Yom Kippur, my wife's grandfather, Svi Menachem Mendel, was Nifter on Yom Kippur. my father-in-law, Rabbi Schwartz's father, was Nifter. And just to speak a little about him, you know, I knew him for a bunch of years. You know, I've been married for 14 years, Kanan Ara. And I got to see him in action. What a happy man. But he lived with this. Zechor Yemos Olam. He lived with this idea. He lived in Poland, and he saw his whole family wiped out. And they put together an amazing book of all his stories, 179 pages. And I was reading so many, so crazy. The Siyata Deshmaya of what took place. One in July 4th, 1941, he was by the Lubart Castle. And everything was happening so fast, and the Nazis, Yimach Shemo, were coming and taking over everything, and they were winning the war, and things were crazy, and they came by this castle, this famous castle, and they were killing, and he was there. My wife's grandfather was there, and he saw he was going to get killed, and he had a little thingy, a little tube, and there was a little river, and he jumped into the river. And he was able, they thought he was just going to go, the Nazis, Vyachimo, thought that he was going to commit suicide. He didn't care. But he jumped into the river and he kept on coming up for breath with his little, he had this little straw that he was able to breathe out of. And the straw saved his life. All these crazy stories. He saw his father murdered in front of his eyes. And he just ran, and his father said, run, just go. And he lived. He lived with the partisans, and he lived in the forest. Imagine what one person... What one person could accomplish, Zechor Yemos Olam. Imagine, you know, he could have just given up. So many people were killed and massacred. And he said, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to make it through. And because of him, look what came out of him. You know, my father, Schwartz, and his brother and the two sisters, Uncle Michael, and Aunt Marlene and Aunt Judy, they it all comes from him, the love that he gave, and he kept on being so generous, and that's what he was all about. Uncle Michael, my wife was listening to the Levi on the phone, and Uncle Michael told the story that he was an engineer. He became the engineer of a big nursing home. He was like the guy that fixed everything. He did everything for everyone, and there was one point that you know, Uncle Michael was with him. He taught him the engineering skills. He took over different things also. And there was one point that he needed him. And every single time, his father was being stopped by all elderly people asking him for help. And he stopped. And he said to him, you know, we're never going to get out of here. And he said, you know, God's the boss. But I'm here to help. I'm here to service the people. I'm here to help the elderly. I'm here to help. Zechor Yemos Olam. I'm here to help. And he was a person that just went. And he was so proud. He was so proud of his children and his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren. The legacy that he left. But one man, he fought for life. What one person could do. And that's what we learn. Zechor Yemos Olam. We have to learn from history. And we can't give up. And that's what one idea. What's the idea of Shira? The idea of Shira and Azinu. Kisu lachem et Hashira Zo, says a great Sfas Emes. That why is it called Shira? Because again, we don't understand everything in life. Hashem is called Elokim. He's Din. But we know we just had a Yom Kippur, and there's Din. There's justice. There's strict, harsh judgment sometimes. But the Ribbono Shel Olam is running the world. So the idea of the Kisru Lachem at Hashira Hazos is the idea that the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Shira, Hazinu, says the Ramban, is that everything that happens in history is from the Torah. Everything that happens in history is from the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Achronim say something else. They say, you know why Kisru Lachem at Hashira Hazos? Because you look, there are a lot of different Shiras in the Torah. The Shira Sayyam, Parshas B'Shalach. There's a lot of different Shiras. Shiras Hamayim. Over here, there's a Shira. And if you look, it's broken up in columns. Why is it broken up in columns? It's broken up in columns to show the idea that everyone has a chelik in the Torah. Everyone. Torah is so deep. It seems like one, three little words. If you look at the Rashi, he's quoting all the Midrashim and the Gemaras. Every word is loaded. Right? The beginning of the Torah, Hazinu Hashemayim V'daberna. Right? Yarov Kamater Lechi. And it says the Torah is like dew. Why dew? Because there's so much. It's so vast. The Midrashim say that there's so much to Torah. It's like dew. It's ever. It just keeps on going. It's overflowing. And that's what it is. It's a Shira. Because everyone has their own chelek in the Torah. Everyone could learn Torah. Everyone has their own song. And everyone could connect to it. But it's also so deep and so vast. That's why the Torah is considered a Shira. Ki Shem Hashem Ekra Havogodu Elokeinu comes right into this idea also. Ki Shem Hashem Ekra Havogodu Elokeinu. We know that all brachas are derabanan. The only brachas that are deoraisa is Birchas HaMazon, and there's a machlokes rishonim about Birchas HaTorah. The Rambam leaves it out, does not tell us that there's a mitzvah deoraisa of Birchas HaTorah. The Ramban and different rishonim say obviously there is a mitzvah deoraisa. Some people want to say that the reason why the Rambam doesn't have it is because it's subsumed under the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. But there's this idea of Birchas HaTorah. Why would the Beis HaMikdash be destroyed if we didn't say Birchas HaTorah? What does that mean? And Rosalvich's question, which one is it? Are we bowing down? Is that what we learn? Kishem Hashem Ekra? Or are we learning the idea of Birchas HaTorah? So, I think the answer is that, again, the Achronim say this, Rishonim say this. Rabbi Yonah says that they were just learning Torah. They didn't have, they were just trying to learn out the halachas, how to live life, but they didn't really want to live with the Torah. The Ran, famous Ran in the Darim, says something a little different, is that they were learning the Torah like a subject, has to show. Torah's not a subject. Torah's, everything's in the Torah. The Torah's so vast. Everything, we learn everything from the Torah. They tell documented stories of the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish was the greatest leader that lived. And the Chazon Ish, he never went to medical school. He never did any of that. And the Chazon Ish was able, there's documented facts to look online, is that the best doctors in Israel used to come and ask him questions on different surgeries. He never learned any of that stuff. But no, since he learned the Torah, and he learned everything to the depths, as much as he could. He knew everything. Because everything's in the Torah. Ki Shem Hashem Ekra HaVogodol Elokeinu. When I call out to Hashem, the name is great. Ki Shem Hashem Ekra, says the Ramban in the beginning of the Torah, Shemoso Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That when we learn Hashem's Torah, we get to Hashem's name. So says the Ran, you know why? You know why? Shelo Baruch Hu Tchila. You know why? Because they just viewed it as another subject. But Torah is so vast! There's so much to gain from Torah! Torah is our life! Ki Hem Chayenu V'Yarech Yameinu! Torah is our life! So that's why. They viewed it as a subject, Chas V'Shalom. But it's the Torah, it's the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. The other Achronim, the Bach, and different other people say, Shelo Baruch Hu Tchila. You know what Shelo Baruch Hu Tchila means? Shelo Baruch Hu Tchila means is that we know that brachas are usually said afterwards. Benching, that just said, is afterwards. After a person is full, then he benches. Okay, you say a bracha derabanan before, it's called a matir, allows you to eat the food. But usually we say brachas, benching is afterwards. It says zechinuch. By Torah, it's before. Because if we're going into this spirituality, into this relationship with Hashem, we need to realize how lucky we are to learn the Torah, even before we start. Obviously, it's great afterwards, but to even learn the Torah, is such a privilege. And that's why we say, Shelo Baruch Hu Techila. They didn't say the bracha before, meaning they didn't love the Torah. They didn't realize how it was an opportunity to get close to their Ribbono Shel Olam. That's what it's all about. So, Cesar of Salvechik, it's not a steer in the Gemaras. The Gemaras are complementing each other. Why? Because when we learn Torah, we are admitting that the Ribbono Shel Olam runs the world. When we bow down to Hashem, and we say, we're doing a Shemona Esrei every single day, right? We bow down. Because when we're humbling ourselves, showing ourselves that it's Hashem running the world. And when we learn Torah, we show Hashem is the boss. Hashem created this world. And the laws, everything comes from it. We get to a Sukkis. And we had a lot of yontifs going on. We go from a Rosh Hashanah, Seder Simei Tshuva, to a Yom Kippur. And now we're getting to a Sukkis. And it's very interesting because Hakel, we spoke about last week, one of the last mitzvahs in the Torah, mitzvah of Hakel, Yerushalayim, going to the Beis HaMikdash, everyone together. The whole idea of Sukkis, one of the major themes of Sukkis, is the idea of togetherness, is the idea of Achdus. You know, it doesn't make sense. You know, on Yom Kippur, if you have an outside party coming in, maybe you're in front of a whole court case, you're pleading for your life, and you're talking about all your Averas, and you're, right? And you're dancing, and you're singing, like, what is going on here? Right, I was just in yeshiva, and just dancing, what's going on? It doesn't make sense. And we're clapping all chais, and we're knocking our chests, everyone together in a song. What's going on? No, the answer is pashut. Because maybe as an individual, there's, as the Rosh says at the end of Rosh Hashanah, as an individual, we're scared, but as a tzibur, as a tzibur, as a togetherness, we're not scared because we're so happy. Hashem loves us. And that's what Sukkis represents. Sukkis represents the togetherness of Klal Yisrael. We see the togetherness with the Torah, that we have one Torah, one unified Torah. Zechor Yemos Olam, it's never going to change the Torah. Maybe things will change in the world, and the world is always changing on a constant basis, but the Torah will never change. And we take the Torah and we have this unity of Klal Yisrael. It just comes together. And Sukkis represents this idea of unity. You know, it's very fascinating. The Gemara tells us in Avodah Zarah. The guardians started complaining. And they're like, listen, it's not fair. It's not fair. You know, you give all the Jews everything. And you don't give us anything. So the Gemara says that Hashem said, okay, I'll give you a mitzvah. He gave the mitzvah of Sukkah. And then he made it hot, the garden came out, kicked it, the whole thing, the whole 9 yards. What's going on here? So the answer is that if you look in the Gemara says that kol echad ve'echad by the garden came out. Why kol echad? Because goyim are not a unified front. They're all in their own da'orah, they're all doing their own thing. But Jews, the togetherness of Klal Yisrael, the togetherness of all Jews coming together, taking it from a Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur to a Sukkis, Zman Simchasenu, the idea of Simcha with the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's why the Gemara tells us in Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, in Sukkah, that you're allowed, Ki B'Sukkos Hushafti, all of Klal Yisrael is going to be in that one big Sukkah, the Sukkah of Leviathan. The sukkah of being all together. And maybe that's also what the dalam minim represent. The dalam minim, we know that you could spend so much money on an esrog and you could not have arabas. Arabas in Israel are like 5-6 shekel. And you're not yotze. I remember my sister, one sukkah is my grandparents, or bamzer, al mishon. And my grandmother came to for sukkahs, my sister. You know, she got him a dalam minim. I think she got tricked a little. Got to see an American girl. A couple $100. So she got a couple $100 shekel. And then she had to find arabas. You know, the whole dalam minim wouldn't be allowed for arabas. That was a 5 shekel. 3 shekel. But it all needs to be all come together. And as the Midrashim say, that all the dalam minim represent different things. Tam. One has smell. One has taste. One has both. But it's putting everyone together. You need to put all the dalam minim together. As the Gemara says in Sukkah, v'lakach dem lachem. Every single person needs to take it, and everyone needs to put the dalam minim together. And if you don't have one, you got nothing. You got nothing. Why? Because it's this achdus. Klal Yisrael represents the achdus. And the whole holiday of Sukkis, we know that the Gemara tells us in sukkah, daf yud aleph. And again, it's important, you know, you're going, everyone's going to be in the sukkah 7 days, live in the sukkah. We need to have different Torah stories, different Torah. Go on TorahAnytime.com, they have a whole newsletter, different stories, everyone loves stories, and different different Torah, small ideas. The idea of sukkah represents the Anani HaKavit, and the great Chidah asks the famous question that we know that there are a lot of things that happen in the Midbar. Moshe Rabbeinu represents the man, the food. And I know Jews love food. Listen, we're always eating. And every Yom Tov is about food. But there's no specific holiday of food. The man holiday. Chag man. There is none. And also water. Water was Miriam. There's no holiday. Again, we have Simchas Beis HaShoeva and they took the water, this and that. But there's no holiday of water. Why the holiday of Anani HaKavod? What does Anani HaKavod represent? So a lot of different answers. That's a question of the Chidah. I'll tell you three answers. Three answers. Good question. Answer number one, says the Chidah, is a person can't live without food and water. They're basic necessities. A person can live without shelter. So therefore, it shows the love of the Ribbono Shel Olam, giving us the love that He loves us so much. And He wants to give us so much. That it's not 100% needed. Again, everyone thinks they need their house. But you could live. You could live. People live. Don't have houses. You could live. And Hashem's showing us our love. Another answer, says the Chidah, is that in the Torah, they complain about food. And they complain about water. We complain. We're people that complain a lot. That's what we are. Jewish people. We complain. But they never complained about the temperature. They never complained. They never complained about the temperature. You look in the Torah. So Hashem says, you don't complain, neither can I, neither. I'm going to make sure you have a special holiday, Anani HaKavod. Another answer. What's the holiday about? Aaron, Anani HaKavod. What did Aaron, the idea that we're saying right now, always show him the road, they show him the mission, says Rabbi Akiva Vos. What does that show? That shows the idea of togetherness, getting everyone together. Oh, they're all together as a unit, and we can't forget this. So many times, like, we're fighting within Klal Yisrael, and we can't forget this. We come out of a Yom Kippur, a day of Tara, the Kedusha, and we bring it into Sukkos. Why do we bring it into Sukkos? So, Rosh Hashiva Maaser, Eisenstein quoted Rav Asher Weiss. I looked it up, I saw Rav Asher Weiss is safer also. Beautiful idea. He tells a story, Divna Magid tells a story, is that a king had a daughter. It's always about a king. What's up? Always about the king, right? The king had a daughter, and they're getting marriageable age. The princess, she marries off another prince, and Baruch Hashem, the king's gonna go visit them. They're getting married, and he goes to visit them one day, and everything looks amazing. The guy's such a good guy, and he's so nice and welcoming, and everything's great. Then his daughter comes over to the king's like, listen, Dad, this. My little hubby over here, he's not such a good guy. He just put on a whole show for you. He's not such a good guy. I don't know what to do. So the king doesn't know what to do. So he thinks an idea. He's like, okay, I have an idea. You know what? Listen, you're the prince and the princess, but you just come for me for a week. Says the Divna Magid, we had a Yom Kippur. And you know what the Malachim are saying? They're trying to knock us down. They're saying, come on, Klal Yisrael, come on. One day, they're clapping, it's really nice, it's cute, but it's one day, it's a show. It's a show. So now, what was Hashem supposed to answer to that? I mean, again, it was an awesome day. Yitzuma shel yom, mechaper, the day itself is mechaper. So what are you going to answer to that? So Hashem says, you know what? You come into my sukkah. You come back to me for a week, you come to my house. I don't want to see how you're acting. That's the idea here. We go right into the sukkah. Why do we go right into the sukkah, says the Divna Magid? Because we're going to Hashem's house. The Anani HaKavod. The idea of all of Klal Yisrael being together. The idea of everyone being together. They tell the story of the Vilna Gaon. Great story. I just heard this. Unbelievable. The Vilna Gaon, again, I don't know if it's true or not. I know they're not telling stories like that about me, but I don't know if it's true or not. The Vilna Gaon, I think he was learning like the second he came out of his mother's womb, whatever. But again, he was a little kid, and it was in the playground. I don't know if it's a true story, but it's a nice story. And they were showing him different things in the playground. And probably the only thing you can remember from the whole chair, anyone who's listening, is this story, is that, and he saw a seesaw. And he said, I hate seesaws. And they said to the Vilna Gaon, why do you hate the Sisra? So the Vilna Gaon said, because if one person's up, the other one's down. That's not what Kalei Yisrael is about. We're all together. Awesome. When one person's up, the other person can't be down. We're all together. We're all one unit. Right? And I always tell that story. It was funny because I heard someone speak recently in shul. And he told the story. I told it, I think, last year. I give a shout out to Uncle G. Uncle G sent me an email about the story. He liked it, the Achdus of Klal Yisrael. And I couldn't find the composer, orchestra, the famous story, which I'm going to say in a second. Give a shout out to Uncle Alan. Just looked on the Alan. He told me he listens online. And Uncle Ira, whoever else listens, send me an email. I'll give you a shout out. That Toscalini was a composer, and he wasn't able to make it. It was a big production, and he wasn't able to make it. And he wanted to hear it. Again, maybe I'm messing up on the facts a little, but I'm saying the basic idea. And he listened to it, and they asked, how was it? He said, it was great, it was unbelievable, except one problem. There was one violinist not there. He said, what? There's 120 band, whole thing, not band, orchestra. How do you mean 190? You could tell! One person not there! And he said, find out, I'm telling you, there was one person not there. And they did research, he was right. And they said, oh, it's just because he knew. The Ribbono Shel Olam needs all of us, and he needs all of us to be together. We're Bonim Lamakom. He wants us all to be together, all of his children to be together. And that's what Sukkos represents. Sukkos represents this idea that we are all together. We take the Dalan Minim. We all come into the Sukkah. This idea through our Torah, Hazinu, the Shira. Again, why is it written so in columns? Because everyone has a Chelek in Torah. In an individual level, but also as a tzibur. And I think we need to realize this. We need to realize how lucky and how fortunate we are to be part of this awesome Jewish nation. We go right from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur to Sukkot, because Hashem says, listen, you can't really live on a Yom Kippur level. That's inspiration. You know what life is? When you go into your house and you have the daily struggles and it's hard, but I want you to realize that it's coming from me. It's my tzel, it's my tzukkah. Right? The Gemara tells us in the beginning of Sukkot, that base, that you're not allowed to have a wall over 20 amos. Why? So one opinion is because the shade is coming from the wall. And we need the shade to come from the schach. Why? Because the schach is the Sukkah. The schach is the Ribbono Shel Olam. Hashem is the one providing us with everything. So we have this Shira. Kisu lachem tashira zos. Zechor yimos olam. We need to become individuals, realizing how powerful we are, right? As I was talking about, my wife's grandfather, who was Moser Nefesh on all levels, as Yirtzeit on Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the year, because a holy man went up to Shemayim. A person that was there, he gave it over to his children, who are leaders in their communities, giving it over and over, and that's what life's about. My father-in-law, Rabbi Schwartz, just my mother-in-law is giving over to the West Side and giving over to Torah on a global level, giving over to his kids, to my wife and to her siblings, and going down from generation to generation. But this is what it's all about, is that we have the Torah, we have this beautiful relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have this relationship, this Achdus in Klal Yisrael, because it's Geschmack to be a Yid. They tell just to end with this, I know it's a little late, but just to end with this, that Rav Yonah son Eibeshitz, one of his Talmidim, is always to sit next to him in davening. He used to hear him say brachas, and he never heard him say shalom asani goy. One time, he's like, I don't get it, why, one of the brachas is shalom asani goy, I didn't make you a non-Jew. So Rav Yonah son Eibeshitz turned to this Talmud and said, the minute I wake up, I have to say the bracha because I'm so excited to be a Jew. I can't. It's just pouring out the emotion. It's pouring out the emotion. Shalom, sunny guy. I say it right after Moda'ani. I can't control myself because we are the unique nation. We have the Ribbono Shel Olam that lives with us, that he loves us. And now we all have to take a chelek, each their own. Everyone, a couple extra minutes, learn a little more. Say an extra Tehillim, do some extra chesed, a little more. Bring the Sukkah, everything you got from the Yom Menorah, and bring it into Zman Simchasenu. Ezra Hashem is going to be an amazing Sukkah, it's amazing Parshas Hazinu. sing the Shirat Hashem. Shirat Hashem. Hashem has given us so much. Let us thank Him for everything He's given us. Everyone should have an amazing Shabbos, an amazing Sukkot. And please, just keep on. We need to just keep on growing with the Ribbono Shalom, with our families, with the Kol Klal Yisrael. And everyone should have an amazing, amazing Shabbos and Yom Tov.